We have been teaching on the subject of growing up spiritually on Wednesday evenings, but we haven't met for a while because of the virus, and we've been having to stay at home. But I wanted to continue in that teaching, to finish that teaching up. I had another lesson that I felt the Lord wanted me to share, especially in years of growing up spiritually. We've been dealing with that subject, and one of the things we have been going over together is looking at things that we would need to know to grow up spiritually. See, there's the Bible is full of so much information. There's so much wonderful revelation in the Bible. But there are certain things that are important that you would find out and need to know first to grow up and to start to grow up. You know, it's like a child. If they didn't teach them to read in school, they didn't teach them, you know, like mathematics, they didn't teach them adding and subtracting, multiplying, dividing. There's no point in trying to go on to something further. Many people in the church world don't know the basics. And there's basic things that you need to know or you'll never grow up spiritually. The average Christian will live and die and never really grow up spiritually. They don't grow up like God wants them to. They don't know who and what they are in it. And I'm not saying this to criticize anybody. It's just a plain downright fact. And it's because there is no systematic teaching, or also is teaching people systematically of what they need to do to start and to grow up. And so it's just like schools. I mean, a good school, they have a systematic learning system, or it's not a good school. Well, churches have been terrible schools. They've been terrible places to go to. In fact, Kenneth Hagin talked at one time about why God raises up like Bible schools and things and stuff like that. And he said the reason he did, and he even talked about concerning Raymond, the reason God raised up Bible schools to raise up ministers, because churches aren't doing their job training and raising up people, because they're not teaching them. They're not teaching them the word. They're not learning in the church. The church world is all mostly what I would call surface learning. You know, it's stuff that's easy just to go over. You don't have to spend any time. You don't have to spend much study. You don't have to be attentive. You know, you can go to church once a month, and when you come back at the end of the 1 month you went, and the next month you didn't miss a thing. Well, we want to look at some things. The last time we met together, we were talking about recognizing where your ability comes from, and we talked about your need to know about your ability, the grace of God that works in you, or you'll just try to carry out the will of God on your own power, on your own thinking. And that can surely be a really hard thing to do. I've done that already, done much on my own, not understanding and yielding by faith to the God's grace. I tried to do things based on what I thought was best. Sometimes even trying to do things that God had not called me to do. So you need to understand that. You know, you don't pick your calling of what you want to do. You find out what God's called you to do, and then you hook up with that. Well, we're looking here at these things, and so we dealt with our need for the ability of God and yielding to it. The Apostle Paul wrote about his need and yielding, and he became what he was by the grace of God that worked in him. And it's the same way with us. We need to learn to yield by faith to God's ability to carry out what he said. God's going to call us to do things that we can't do by our natural talents. Natural talent ain't going to make it work. You know, I don't care how talented you are naturally. God may have called you to something where that talent doesn't, you don't even use it. There's things that I'm naturally talented in, but God didn't call me that. He called me the ministry, called me to pastor and minister the word. That wasn't what I was naturally inclined to. So, hallelujah, he gave me grace, and I've learned over time to yield to that, and surely not perfectly, I'm still learning of how to yield to the grace of God that's in me. Today, I want you to look at something. We're going to go over in an area that you need to know and understand. And we want to talk about the things, because many times Christians deal with the areas of their weakness, and they talk about being weak and that stuff, and we want to look at something in the Ephesians, the sixth chapter. It's a really important area we're going to look at here today if you understand these things and the importance of this. The Apostle Paul wrote some really important things that Christians need to know if they're going to be successful. And we're going to look at starting out, and it says in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and in verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." In other words, see, we were talking about the last time we met, we talked about God's ability, and here he says what? We're supposed to be strong in the Lord and in his power. That's what we're supposed to be strong in. Not in our power, our ability, our great wisdom and understanding. We're supposed to be strong in his. Now, he said, be strong in the Lord. So, How are we going to be strong in the Lord? Well, we're going to find out how you're strong in the Lord, what you need to be doing if you're going to be strong. Now, one of the things he says to this, you got to put on, in verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What must you do? You got to put on the armor of God. See, many people are walking by their own armor. And their armor, we're going to find out, their armor is based on what they believe and what they think and what they know and what they understand. And they put that on. But sometimes what they believe and know and understand isn't what God teaches and says. You know, most Christians, and sad to say, most Christians, they walk around armorless. They don't have anything. It's just like right now, we're dealing with this virus, and there's Christians out here and that stuff, and they're just trying to get by and do with their best. They haven't put the armor of God on to know that God even wants them well. They think that, their friend who was a good Christian died, and well, that's just what God's will was. Well, they don't have the armor of God on. They don't know. They walk out there, and the devil, who is the one who steals, kills, and destroys, he's allowed to just go ahead and do it with them. Why? Because they have no armor in that area. And so we want to look at it. He said, you put on the armor of God. You put on the whole. He didn't say, just put on, a little bit of it. Just get a little of that armor on you. You'll be all right. No. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He said this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Well, see, in other words, aren't fighting people. We're not fighting flesh and blood. See, when we're against this thing, we're dealing with this flu epidemic. This is not just some flesh and blood thing. Most people, that's what they think of. Well, this is just a natural virus just working. No, it isn't. No, sickness and disease came because of the curse. Sin entered the earth. When sin entered, by Satan, brought it into the earth and got man to sin, then followed the curse. The curse began to operate and work in the earth. Sickness and disease started. There was no sickness and disease in the garden. Man sinned and brought it into the earth. Satan became in his working. And we need to understand who the author of these things are. It's not God. Many people believe this is God. This is God. You know, he's out here doing this, and he's put this curse on the earth here and that stuff and trying to destroy it. Well, if it is, and it is God, you have no business trying to bring it to a stop. If this is God, let God carry it out and work it. Why would you want to pray? And if you get sick, why would you run off to the doctor? If it's God's been doing this thing, well, God's not doing this thing. And because if he is, boy, there's a lot of Christians. Most Christians are disobedient because they don't want it on them. Well, if it's God's doing it, you ought to be praying. You get it. Well, we ain't going there, are we? Hallelujah. We're going to follow the plan of God. Glory to God. We're not going to walk in this the stupidity of man and what man does. Hallelujah. So we want to maintain to looking at our teaching here from the scriptures. In Ephesians here, we want to go back and look at the where it says in verse 13, it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. And what? Having done all to stand. Having done all what? Put all the armor on. Then what do? You stand. See, you stand your ground. You stand. He's not talking about you're going out to just to go attack the devil. We need to go out and fight the devil. The Bible don't tell us to fight the bad devil. The Bible only tells us we have the New Testament, only one fight we're in, and it's called the good fight of faith. So what do you mean you stand? You stand what? See, you stand on health and healing, say, concerning this virus and stuff. You make a stand on that, and you stand. You don't move off of it. The devil comes along, and he puts symptoms on your body. Say, hey, hold it. That ain't mine. I ain't having that. But you have to put on the armor. If you don't have the armor, you will not be able to stand. It's through the armor that you're able to stand. And he said, you put on the whole armor. So why take up the whole armor? You take it all up that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Well, we're sure in an evil day. But you need to understand this. These are things that need to be taught in the church. See, baby Christians need to learn to put armor on. They need to learn to do that. Everybody needs armor. The devil, just because a person's a baby Christian, they don't say, well, the devil will never bother you. We find out that sure ain't going to work. But we find here to put on this whole armor of God is for this purpose, that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Now listen to the things that he says to do here. He said, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. First we want to look, he said, standing therefore, having girded, stand therefore, having girded. In other words, you've done something. You have done something so you can stand. You have. It's what? Girded your waist with the truth. In other words, the Word of God. The Word is the truth. See, is the truth is what will make you free. So he says, what you, now one of the things, we've girded ourselves with truth. You're girded in truth. You know, the what he's talking about, they had the armor and that stuff that covered the areas and protected with the that's over the sides of a person and over their, what they called girding, their loin and their groin area to keep from injury there because, severe injury, say from the natural. But what he's talking about, you're girded around you in your waist. You're girded in truth. That's where you're standing. So you want to put that on. In this other words, you got to have the truth. And you'll find this. Now, we're going to look at these things. These things all deal with the Word. See, this armor, we're not going to get all focused on what these pieces of armor. We're going to get on focused of what they represent. It's the Word of God. It's the foundation of the Word. Each one of these deal with the Word of God. It's getting the Word in you, getting it in your inner man. It's getting it in your mind. It's getting it in your hand. And we're going to find out it's getting it on your tongue. So we want to get the Word in us. We got to get it in it and believe it. That's how you're able to stand. So he said, you girt your loins with truth. He said, what is it? You put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, a breastplate and armor, that was something that covers over your chest. It protects your heart and lungs and all those kind of things. But I want you to see, so it's the main things. But he said this, what's the importance of this? What is the armor? What's this armor that you have to protect you? One of the things of armor you need to protect you. You don't put on a physical breastplate. There's no physical breastplate. The devil don't care about those. He don't have to stop because of those. He said, our breastplate is what? Righteousness. It's the knowledge of righteousness. See, we're in the time right now in season. This week we're coming up, this Friday will be, Good Friday, and people, we're all focused on the death of Jesus Christ, and then on Sunday will be, Easter Sunday, the resurrection. People are focused on those things. But what did Jesus die for? Why did he die? What was the purpose of his death? Well, the average church is he died for our sins. There you go. That's it. See, he died so I could be forgiven. Well, you gotta have, your armor is more than that. Well, what armor? If your armor isn't a sure thing, if all you got from Jesus is forgiveness of sin, that's the only armor you got when the devil shows up. Well, I'm a Christian and my sin's forgiven. Well, the devil is not moved because you got your sins forgiven. That ain't going to impress him at all. Because if you don't have knowledge, you don't have armor on, you don't have on the things you need of the Word of God to protect you. Well, he tells us here the breastplate of righteousness. So he tells us, we found out about the ways to put on the truth, but the breastplate of righteousness, in other words, the righteousness that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus died and was raised from the dead so you could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So in him, in his faith in him, we became God's righteousness. In other words, you and I can go and stand before God. We can go, when you and I go and present ourselves to God, when we go to pray or to worship or whatever we do, when we go into the presence of God, we can go in without accounting of shame or guilt or inferiority, and especially the inferiority. Most of the church world preaches inferiority of how the low life that you are, how bad off you are and that stuff. And you know, if God, he just puts up with you. And they say things like this. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ covers us. And so God don't, he doesn't look on us. He looks at us through the blood. I'm sorry, he does not. He looks at me and face to face. I, through the blood, am born again. I'm a child of God and I have God's nature. We aren't some lowlifes that he has to look through us with the blood. The Bible don't teach that. That's man's ideas of making men and preaching inferiority. If I'm righteousness, and the Bible says that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I'm God's very own righteousness, the righteousness of God. Think about that. God made me as righteous as he is. You know, my children were born. They're just as much my children. They're just as much concerning my DNA, me and my wife's DNA. They can stand in our presence. They can come before us, and they're recognized as our children. They're our offspring. We don't turn around and put a screen up and look through something so we don't have to look at them very much. We don't do that. And so we need to understand we've been made the righteousness of God. We can come into God's presence. And see, this is one of the things. If you don't have on the breastplate of righteousness, the devil will deceive you. The devil will come along and he'll attack you and he'll sit there and criticize you of everything you ever did wrong or any mistakes you made. And yeah, well, you know, you can't expect to be taken care of because, you know, you've done this and you've done that. See, if you don't have an understand righteousness in your place of righteousness, I will guarantee you, you have a huge part of your armor. You can try to do all the rest of the things you want. But I'll tell you what, answered prayer, and we're going to talk about this because he tells you to put on the armor and then he talks about praying. In other words, we put the armor off so we can step before God in prayer and get our prayers answered. And if you don't know that you're righteous, you'll be a weakling when it comes to prayer. You won't know if God wants to answer them or not. You'll believe anything the devil will tell you. And sad to say, there's many people being taught and preached to, really, from a standpoint like the devil. You know, trying to make us feel inferior. You're not inferior. In other words, when you go in, you have to make your stand. You have to have the breastplate of righteousness on. Your righteousness and your knowledge of your righteousness is how you can stand in the presence of God. You can stand in His presence knowing that He'll do for you what He said. And whatever you ask for, He's going to do it for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You can have that confidence that John talked about, that anything we ask according to His will, we know that if He hears us, we know we have the petition we requested of Him. If you don't have on the breastplate of righteousness, those scriptures will never be yours. No, you'll be talked right out of them. God wants to answer your prayer. So you must have on the breastplate of righteousness. And then He said, you have, having your shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He said, what, on the, what's having your feet? In other words, we're dealing with the Word of God. You have it on your feet. In other words, the Word is, the gospel is more than just, you know, Jesus forgave you of your sins. If that's all the gospel you got, you ain't got much walking out in Christianity. See, we put on shoes. He's talking about what we walk out and live. It is not enough to just have a talk gospel. It's a walk gospel too. See, he's telling us here, this is part of your armor, is to do the Word of God. What happens is we do it. We do what the Word says. We act on it. Hallelujah. James wrote about that, and he talked about the doer of the Word being blessed. He said, don't be a hearer only. Hallelujah. A hearer only is a deceived person. Many times Christians are deceived. They talk around the things that they believe, but they're not doing what they said they believe. They're not living like they say they believe. They're not living like Jesus is Lord. They're not doing any of that. And so what happens? They live in deception and they don't have their armor on and they end up getting attacked by the devil and the devil does things to them. Hallelujah. So we need to understand is how we put on the, we're not just turning around and putting the Word on. We're not just talkers of the Word. We're doers of the Word also. Hallelujah. So we act on the Word of God. That righteousness. You know, stand in the presence of God. Act like it's true. Act like you're righteous. Act like you belong in His presence. Act like that. Oh, God loves it when people act because that's your actions of faith. You know, when you get in His presence and you start talking like, oh, poor old me, I'm a nothing, you know, oh, Lord, we're just trying if you just help us. Oh, just give us some breadcrumbs. Let's just do, oh, Lord, just do it this. You know, just think about the woman who Jesus said to. The woman said, that the children's bread, you know, you don't give it to dogs. She said, even the dogs get the crumbs. And, you know, here she was. She was a Gentile, and the covenant didn't belong to her. She was a Gentile, and the covenant God gave to Israel wasn't hers. But she understood that even breadcrumbs would work, and she got her daughter delivered from a demon because she got over in an area of faith of being able to believe for breadcrumbs. Most Christians can't believe for breadcrumbs. They can't even believe for that. We're supposed to be having the children's bread. We're supposed to be at the table having all the good stuff. And we need to come and take that place. And by acting on the Word of God, acting like it's true, coming into the presence of God, sitting at God's table like we belong there, and the things that God's provided, they belong to us. And see, that's our walk out in life. Like those things are true. You know, we're you know, some people say, yeah, we know to go preach the Word. Ain't enough to go preach the Word. You got to go live the Word. You ain't any people going to pay a bit of attention to you preaching to them if you ain't living it. You need to get out there and live like it's true. They want to see a good God. You go out there and tell them God's good and He loves them, and then tell them, well, you know, sometimes He'll kill you with the flu. Boy, is He a good God. Is He wonderful? Oh, what a wonderful daddy He is. He sends flu to kill you. Yep, I'll tell you, He's a wonderful dad. No, we need to go out there and live like this Word of God is the truth in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then He told us to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now listen what He says, above all. Now there's one piece you're supposed to take above all. And why? He says, what's the above all piece? He said, the shield of faith. He said, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Everything He throws at you, faith gives you the ability to stop it. Everything. See, it doesn't matter how much you believe what the Word says you have to do, but see, you need to have faith. You can know what the Word, you can quote the Word. Do you believe it's true? And you walk like it's true? Your faith is what stops the devil in his tracks. Here we said, it'll stand. Everything He throws at you, faith in the Word of God can stop every bit of it. He said, above all, you got to have that. See, you got to come along, act in faith. We've taught before on the areas of faith, what faith is. Faith is believing the Word in your heart, not doubting. That's what the Scripture says. Then it says saying the Word. Hallelujah. Jesus said you'll have what you say. Well, if you believe in your heart and don't doubt and say it, it'll come to pass. Then you got to act like it's true. Then you act like it's true, the three parts of faith. So in other words, you take that, it's a shield to you, everything the devil can throw at you. See, all things are possible to him that believeth. See, all things are not possible to everybody. It's to him that believeth. It don't say all things are possible because God might be able to do that for you. Oh, God can do anything. Who cares if God can do anything? If you can't get it, it don't matter what He can do. That, who cares what He can do? I only want to know what He will do, not what He can do. I want to know what He will do for me. Hallelujah. Because what He can do is all a possibility, and I can't believe for what He could do, but hasn't told me He will. And so that's why you need to know what the will of God is. You take the shield of faith, He said, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We found out here another part of the armor of God to put on. He said, take up the helmet of salvation. He said, helmet of salvation. See, the helmet is about your mind. Get the Word in your mind. It's not get the Word just in your heart. It's good to get it in your heart, but get your Word in your mind, because I'll tell you what, that's the place where the devil comes and tries to trip you up the most. He will come and try to deal with you in your mind. He'll bring thoughts against you. People will come along. You'll stand the Word in faith, and somebody will come and say, well, I know so-and-so believed that, and he died. And you'll always have those people come along and doing those. People will come along and say all kinds of things. But you're going to have to get the Word in your mind so you're so convinced. Your thoughts, you got to get your thinking like His thinking. You got to think the thoughts of God to keep yourself. See, when your thoughts are in the right track and your heart's on the right track, what a powerful thing it is. And then you get your mouth saying the right things. Hallelujah. Speaking the right things. Jesus said you'll have what you say. I wonder if Jesus lied. I somehow don't think He did. I think He's telling the truth. And you know the truth, and the truth has made you free. And you're going to walk in those things. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we take that shield of faith, and then He says that take the helmet of salvation. Make sure you got that, the helmet of salvation. Put the Word in your mind. Hallelujah. And listen what He said. Now see, what you do is you got this faith, and you got it in your, and you got what you believe in your mind too. Then He says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know what the sword of the Spirit is? That's saying the Word. Jesus, do you ever go over and read the book of Revelation? Jesus returns and it said He had a sword in His mouth. Book of Revelation talks about Him. When John saw Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, when he saw Jesus, he saw Jesus with a sword coming out of His mouth. The sword. That is the Word of God. So you got to get what? The Word in your heart. You got to get the Word in your mind. And then you get it on your mouth. The sword of the Spirit. And I'll tell you what. The devil hates it when you speak the Word. See, the devil wants you to get talking all kinds of nonsense. All kinds of things. You know, he wants you to turn around and listen to the latest news report. And begin to talk everything they're saying about this virus. Every bad thing about it. He wants you to begin to talk it and say it and get it out there. But we're not going to do that. We're going to keep talking the Word of God. So, we got the sword of Spirit. Then what does He say? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So see what He did? See, this is why most people, their prayers don't get answered. Because they don't put no armor on when they go to pray. They got no armor on. They haven't put the word on. They haven't taken the time to get the word on. They step into the place where they are, and they're protected in what they're standing on. And they start to pray and ask God for things, and the devil comes along and say, you can't have that. The devil comes along and does things and say, well, I guess maybe it isn't God's will for me to have that. And they'll begin to talk their nonsense. Now listen. He says, praying always. In other words, praying always. So he's given us the idea we can pray at all times. Well, we have part of prayer is the asking part. So, and he said to hear about praying for the saints while we're asking things for them. Well, he wouldn't tell us to pray for people if he wasn't going to do the stuff. What good would it ask us to put on the armor, put on the word, go to God about the saints, and God ain't going to do it? What a waste of time that would be. No, I'll tell you, we can have a prayer life that will be a blessing to us and to others when we put the armor on. Get the word in you. Step out in. Tell God, especially, he said, we're supposed to pray. And he said, be watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In other words, praying for the body of Christ, hallelujah, is a hugely important thing that we do. Well, he told us to put on our armors. Why? So we can have a victorious prayer life. We need to have that. God wants us to have. Go over and read in the Gospel of John. And we go down through where, you know, he's the vine and we're the branches. And it goes down and talks about God's blessed because if we have a fruitful prayer life, we get our prayers answered. And that's that God's excited about that. That's what God wants you to have, a fruitful prayer life. Well, Paul's talking about the same kind of thing. Paul's talking about having a successful prayer life. He's telling you what to do to have one here. Hallelujah. That we turn around and take the word of God. We're talking about over there with John. John said, you know, if about the word being in you, hallelujah, that God being in you and the word's in you, you'd ask what you will and it shall be done for you. And it says, through this my Father's glorified. God's glorified when you get the word in you. Hallelujah. Get him in you, get the word in you, and then your prayers are answered. God's glorified. God ain't glorified in you not getting your prayers answered. Well, you know, God sometimes says yes, sometimes he says no. He don't want to answer your prayers because why? He don't like to get glorified. No, he wants the devil glorified. You know, that's what God wants. Well, no, he don't. God's great desire is to be glorified, that men's prayers get answered. And here he tells us, hallelujah, that we would pray. Paul said, hey, you guys get the armor on. Verse 19, he said, and for me, pray for me when you get the armor on. Hallelujah. He said that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to preach, boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. He said, pray for me for utterance. Open up doors, Lord, ones I can talk to. Hallelujah. And I can open my mouth boldly. Pray for me that I get boldness. See, we can pray for boldness for believers. We can pray for that. Paul, why would Paul ask for to pray for boldness if you couldn't do it? Hallelujah. Pray them for boldness. Hallelujah. He said, Paul went on to say, he said, for which he said, I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So, praise God, we're putting on the armor of God, and we put it on for the purpose, hallelujah, for a successful prayer life. We can stand against the wiles of the devil. We can bring things to a halt, hallelujah. We can turn things around, and it's really important at this time, praying for the body of Christ, hallelujah, to stand up in this day and time. Christians, to stand up in the name of Jesus. Take the word of God and make a stand with it, hallelujah, that God's force, who can be against us? Well, you know, a lot of preachers are preaching God's against us. He's the one making sick, trying to do all this stuff of evil and all that kind of stuff going on. It's God. No, it says God's for me, who can be against me? God is for me. How could God be for me trying to kill me? That ain't God for me. And so, hallelujah, praise God, we can take the word and we can walk strong. And see, this is how you can stand strong. You can't stand strong if you don't have armor on. You're not going to stand strong. You got to put the armor on. So, praise God. That's one of the things if you're going to grow up spiritually. Jesus died and was raised from the dead so you could stand strong. Hallelujah. And Apostle Paul tells us what he's given to us, what the armor that we can put on. We can put the word on. Get the word in us. Hallelujah. Inside, in the inner man. Get it in there. Hallelujah. Get the word of God in your mind. Hallelujah. Get the word of God in your tongue. Hallelujah. And you will not go wrong. You'll always be victorious. Now, one of the things is, the last thing I want to talk to you about is, we have discussed this before as believers, but I want you to talk about this because it is so important that you learn in prayer of what to do is walking in line with the word is something that you need to learn to pray God gave us a wonderful, wonderful prayer in Ephesians, the first chapter. If you turn there to Ephesians, the first chapter, we're going to look at that prayer because this prayer has about to do with growing up spiritually. Now, we've talked about it before in this lesson, but I want you to see this because we're teaching in this area. You need to see that we need to come to the place. We need knowledge and understanding and wisdom from the Word. And we need that because you can't grow up without it. No one's a strong Christian that don't know their Bible. And it isn't a matter of just memorizing, quoting some scriptures. You need revelation of what those scriptures actually mean or talking about. You know, loads of Christians today, they'll turn around, you turn around, take a scripture, and you look at something that God said, and they'll say, oh, that was for the Jews. See, they don't know revelation, you know. The Bible tells me I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. When you go back over and tell you, say that about the, you know, back under the law, those things back there I'm redeemed from. Well, if I'm redeemed from, then the blessing of the law is mine. And most Christians think that those blessings back there, they were for the Jews. Well, if I'm redeemed from the curse, then that means the blessing back there, or I wasn't redeemed from that curse. And so that was all a lie. Well, that's not true. The Bible's right. Well, in Ephesians, the first chapter, I want to look at you because Paul gives us a revelation about the Word here of something that we can pray for others, but also pray for ourselves. And you should be doing that with this prayer. Paul said in Ephesians 1st chapter, verse 15, he said, therefore, I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, Paul said he didn't cease to give thanks for them in prayer. And he says, making mention of you in prayers. And here's he's telling you what he continually prays for these people. So if he continued to pray for them, if they need it, good chance we need it. And boy, it is a great need. You know, I don't care how much I know about the Bible. I don't care how much I've understood. I'm going to Bible school and all the things and all the study I've done since Bible school, all the things. No matter how much I've learned. I still need to know some things. There's much I don't understand and don't know. And there's much I need to know. And we want to learn and to know. Now in verse 17 he said, what? This is what I'm praying for you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and who is he? He's the Father of glory. That's our Father. The Father of Jesus is our Father. Hallelujah, too. He said, what? Pray. He said, I pray for you guys that this wonderful Father we have, is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I want the Father of glory to give to you. Now, would you think Paul would be praying this and God saying, well, no, I really don't want him to have that. Well, then why even put it in the book? Who even needs it? See, this was put here showing us what we need to be praying for, what God wants to do for us. He says, he may give you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See, you need a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You know, many, many Christians don't have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Many Christians, they lack knowledge. They'll always tell you how they read the Bible and they don't understand things and they don't know this and they don't know that. They're always talking about, you know, well, you know, we just don't, there's just so much that we don't know and we don't understand. Well, you're right. If you don't believe you're supposed to have it and you aren't praying that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. See, praying for revelation of God's power given to you. What has God given to you? Listen to what he says. You need wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We need to know him. You know, if we don't know who our dad is, who our God is. You know, people talk about God's great and he can do anything. And you start talking to him about what he can do, they don't even got a clue. They don't have a clue what he can do or what he will do. They don't have a clue. But see, we need to understand, we're supposed to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, and say, praise God, Father, I just pray, Lord God, I need a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of you, and you're going to give it to me. Hallelujah. I just thank you for giving that to me. Glory to God. God, when I read the word, you give me understanding and comprehension. So not, I just don't know about it, Lord God, so I can do it and live in it, because the doer's blessed. I want to thank you. Hallelujah. Now, what did he say? He went on to pray. What he was praying for them, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In other words, your understanding. One translation says the eyes of your heart. In other words, the inner man got to see. The guy on the inside. See, the word of God is for the inner man. See, we worship a God you can't see. You can't see him. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what we have to be able to see, but not in this realm. Most Christians live by natural sight. They live by naturally what they see and naturally what they hear. But there's an inner man, my inner man. Hallelujah. Paul talked and wrote about the inner man. He talked about the guy on the inside. The guy on the inside has to see, and his sight is through the Word of God. And that's the guy we got to get, because he's the one that has to believe and not doubt on the inside. He said, Jesus said you'd have what you say if you didn't doubt in your heart. Or that inner man, the hidden man of the heart, Paul called him. That guy has to believe the word. He has to be able to see it and understand it. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. You got to know what the hope of his calling is. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Hallelujah. Do you know the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? Christians are all the time saying, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, there is no person that God don't, they don't never know what God wants them to do. It can be growing up spiritually. You can't grow up spiritually. I don't know what he wants me to do. I don't know. So, you know, I'm just sitting around doing nothing. Well, I'll tell you what. You ain't going to grow up doing that way. God wants to give you revelation, the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He wants you to know what he's given you an inheritance. Jesus died so you could have an inheritance. And God wants you to know what that inheritance is. And he wants you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So you ought to be praying for these things. You ought to be praying to know what is the hope of his calling. Lord, I got to know. I ain't going to spend my time figuring out what I like to do. Lord God, I thank you. You're going to give me revelation on what you want me to do. Hallelujah. And Lord God, to reveal to me the riches of the glory of the inheritance. Hallelujah. That you've given the saints. Hallelujah. Because we're saints. Nobody has to vote you in as a saint. You don't have to do some great deed to become a saint. When you got born again, you became a saint. You became separated to God. Everyone who is born again, a child of God, is a saint. It ain't somebody's a saint because, you know, somebody put a title in front of them. They did a great deed. Well, hallelujah. If you get born again, you'll qualify to do some great deeds. Hallelujah. You got to be a saint in the kingdom to do something for God. You don't turn around and come a saint because you did something. So, what you need to know is what the saints have inherited. What did you inherit? See, if you couldn't look at yourself as being a saint, if you think, well, I'm just an old low life, I'm just not much. No, I inherited something. I'm not a low life. I inherited. I got born again, became a child of God. I have God's nature. Glory to God. What an inheritance I have. Hallelujah. What has God given me? People say, well, he gave us forgiveness of sin. He gave us a whole lot more than that. Hallelujah. It says we've been redeemed from the power of darkness. We've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. Lord God has provided so much for us in the church. We got my sins, friend. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. If you're still an old sinner, you ain't saved. If I am saved, hallelujah, I'm not an old sinner anymore. There's a separation between sin. The Bible tells us sin isn't going to lord over us anymore. And all that teaching that goes on, it says, well, you know, you're just going to sin. Well, that's a lie. If you're just going to sin, well, then you haven't been redeemed from sin, and sin lords over you. And so you didn't get your inheritance. Well, hallelujah, find out about your inheritance. Now, you folks, you know your inheritance. And you take a hold of that inheritance and be strong about that inheritance and pray. God continually reveals to you more revelation about what is really yours, your place of authority, where you stand. Listen to what he said else you need to know. These are the things that Paul is praying for these people. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Listen to what he says. You need to know the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Why? According to the working of his mighty power. We're supposed to know what God's exceeding power works toward us. What God's doing. What's that power toward us? It didn't say, oh, that power out here doing this. He said, the power of God that is toward us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God, you appeal to say, well, the Holy Spirit's in me. Yes, I have the Holy Spirit in me. Well, you think he's some little old weakening down in there not doing nothing? See, the Holy Spirit's inside of us. That's the power of God is inside us. We need a revelation of what the Holy Spirit will do in us and then start acting in line with that. Hallelujah. He wants you to know what is that exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of the mighty power. Why? Now, what is this mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead? He wants you to know about resurrection. You have resurrection power that works towards you. Did you know that? Hallelujah. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He'll make alive your mortal body. This mortal body that I'm living, my body's mortal. It's not immortal. But the Holy Ghost inside of me works in my mortal body. That there's the healing of the body, the strength for the body to go and to do the will of God. The strength that He's given. Resurrection. We have resurrection. Could resurrection hold Jesus in a grave? What do you think resurrection power would kill us? Oh no, well God wants you sick. God wants you dead. God wants you this. He killed him for a reason. We go through all those things that people say and do. Then what's the good of the resurrection? What's the good of this power toward us? What good is resurrection? When it's turned off all the time. Hallelujah. Well, no, towards you, God has resurrection power that is towards you. Hallelujah. Why? He put the Holy Ghost in you. That's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's inside of you, and it's working mightily. He says, now He wants you to understand this. He said, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. And He, what He do, seated Him His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is come. He has seated Jesus far above all principality, all power, all might, dominion. Now, I understand this. He just told you this resurrection power. Now you need the revelation that He seated Him in heavenly places. Why? And listen what He says. And He put everything under His feet, all things under His feet. Gave Him to be head over all things of the church, which is His body. The fullness of Him and fell in all. It's His body. Is Jesus' body sitting on the throne or just a head on the throne? Or just a head sitting there? No, it says His body, and we're the body of Christ. We're the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. All of this resurrection, all this stuff is ours. Hallelujah! See, and if people aren't taught these things, they can't grow up. See, we're going to have much of the church world is going to go. They go through this thing, and oh boy, you know, they call this the Holy Week. Yeah, the Holy Week, but the teaching and stuff that'll go on. It'll just about Jesus was raised from the dead. We got our sins forgiven. They won't teach people or tell people, you go take your place in your seat, hallelujah, with Christ Jesus, hallelujah, far above all principality, might, and dominion. He said, you're far above it. Well, if I'm far above it, then sin can't lord over me. Sin can't dominate me. But see, we've said sin is going to dominate. Sin rules. Well, you know, I'm just a man. I just can't do this. We need to get a revelation concerning these things. We need to begin to pray and ask God to give us revelation so we can take the place of our calling, hallelujah, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the glorious church filled with the power and the glory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ working and operating in the earth, hallelujah. Look when He said there in the end, 23rd, which is His body, the fullness of the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who filleth all in all. We the church are His fullness, He said. Isn't that amazing? We the church are the fullness of Jesus Christ in the earth. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, that is just downright exciting and wonderful. And so, you know, we're looking at these things, and this is why you want to take this prayer. You want to pray it for yourself. Put your name in there. Lord, you're giving me. Lord, you're going to give me. Hallelujah. A spirit of wisdom. That's what you're going to do. See, He wouldn't understand this. The scripture wouldn't have these things in there. Oh, well, this was just for the church at Ephesus. This is just, well, then if it's just for them, there's no point in us even reading Ephesians. We just throw that away. It's of no good. No, it is for us because these things, if anything today, there needs to be a rising up of a church of power. The glorious church. People talk about a glorious church. A glorious church to them is just a church that doesn't do things wrong. Is that all we are? Is just somebody that don't do something wrong? Was that all Jesus was somebody that didn't do wrong? No, Jesus was full of power and full of glory when He was in the earth. He walked in the power of glory. Look at the apostles. Look at the book of Acts. Did they just walk around and just, you know, they were just nice guys and they were nice to people and they were good. Yeah. No, they were men and women of power. Hallelujah. They walked in the glory of God. Demonstrations of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ working through them. And some people say, well, yeah, all of that ended with the apostle. Well, then the church has ended with the apostle. And let's just forget it and forget Easter. Forget this resurrection stuff because it don't amount to nothing. But I'm going to tell you it amounts to everything. Hallelujah. The glory that God has given us through Jesus Christ. We need to walk in that glory. And I just encourage you to continue to take the time to pray, read over these things, meditate, think about what you're saying with these things. What is your expectation for God to do when you pray for these things for yourself and for the body of Christ? Oh, pray for the body. See, I pray it for our church. I pray it for you guys. When I pray for you, I pray these scriptures for you, that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why, when I'm teaching, the anointing of me is on to me to teach. What good is it if you can't understand it or know it, if you don't have a spirit of wisdom and revelation? See, this is something you must not just have just because you become a child of God. Why would Paul be praying for these people to get this if you just had it? Because, well, I'm a Christian. That's what people get around and say, well, you know, I got as much Holy Ghost. I don't believe in being baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in the tongue. I just got just as much as you do. Well, this is proof that everybody don't have it. You don't get everything just because you got saved and accepted Jesus Christ. You don't get a fullness of the Spirit just because you accepted Jesus Christ. Right here we find out that you don't have the Spirit. That Paul's praying for them to get a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. So we need to understand there's a need that we have for this. Hallelujah. See, and we need to get all that nonsense out of the church. Get it out. Begin to teach. See, if you want to grow up, see yourself of where you are and where your note is, your need is. What do you really need? See, if you don't know what your need is, well, you know, God, just give me whatever I need. Well, what do you mean by that? Do you know what you need? If He gave it to you, if you didn't know what you need, you might turn it down whatever He tried to give you. People do that all the time. God's trying to work something in them, and they don't like it because they want something else, and they turn down what God's doing. See, and this is why we need revelation on what we need so we can properly ask God for it. Now, we have here that tells us, going into it, of a need that we have, and we need to be able to do that. If we're going to grow up spiritually, we're going to have to understand these things about this prayer, set it in motion for us, hallelujah, so we can walk in the place that we need to go. In other words, the Apostle Paul figured out that this church needed more to understand these things than all the things about the end time and end time prophecy. There's nothing wrong with end time prophecy. But I tell you, churches, people love to talk about those kinds of things but know nothing about the here and now. And you got to learn about the here and now. This is what he told them. They need to come to this place that they develop in the here and now. Why? Because then they can get some revelation about the end time thing. Too many people, there's too much things talked about the end time that isn't God's revelation. It's how man's figured it out. And he'll use scriptures for this. I've heard people use scriptures over the years of this and that and the other thing that have nothing to do with what on earth they're talking about with the end times. But people go ahead and use it. Why? They're trying to operate out of their own minds and their own thinking, trying to figure things out. All the times the books that have been written on the end times, all these things, and I mean, today, how many of them are in the trash heap because it didn't come to pass like they said? Well, it's the same thing. God's Word is the same. You couldn't take the Bible and throw it in the trash heap because the things in it, they come to pass just like He said. They're fulfilled just like He said. So I need to understand and know what He's saying. And so continually take the time to learn what the Word of God says. Take the time to pray and ask God. God, I want to thank You because I'm praying and asking today by faith in the name of Jesus that You're giving me a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of You. The eyes of my understanding. My inner man can see. On the inside, my spirit sees and understands. I'm getting revelation from the Word. I'm getting wisdom and knowledge. Hallelujah. I'm knowing, Lord God, You're revealing to me Your inheritance. And Lord God, the hope of Your calling, what You've called me in the place You've called me to stand in and walk in. Lord God, You're revealing it to me. Hallelujah. See, and you want to put those things to work. Begin to pray them for yourself. And then thank God as you pray these things. Then you thank God. Thank God every day and pray. Go to pray. Lord, I ask You to give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I thank You. You're doing it. Hallelujah. Lord God, I'm getting revelation. You might not seem like at first you're getting revelation on, but you start acting like it's true. God's doing it. If you start acting like it's true, you're going to see it. It will come to pass and it will be true. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to end there in our teaching because this teaching are things, some major things that just we need to know so we can grow up spiritually. We put them down there. I just want to read this is something that Kenneth E. Hagin had in a book of his called Grows Up Spiritually. He said, the spiritual man is the one in whom the Word of God has gained the ascendancy over his mind and over his body. It has brought him into harmony with the will of God. For the Word of God is the will of God. Let me read that to you again. The spiritual man is the one in whom the Word has gained the ascendancy over his mind and over his body. It has brought him into harmony with the will of God. For the Word of God is the will of God. Hallelujah. See, the spiritual man, you get the Word in you and get it in your mind. Bring your body. See, if you don't get the, you get the Word in you, you get it hooked up, walking in it, get it in your mind. If you don't get it in your mind and in your heart, your body's gonna dominate and rule. You gotta bring it over to where your body follows the Word of God. Hallelujah. So it can be done. You can dominate. And he says, what? So why? He said, it has brought him into harmony with the will of God. For the Word of God is the will of God. Remember, it's the Word of God is God's will for us. So take the time to learn and know the will and the Word of God. Father, I just want to thank you today for your kindness and mercy to us through Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, as we've looked into these scriptures and looked into this wonderful time, Lord God, of your Word, how wonderful it is, how enlightening your Word is. And I want to thank you, Father God. Father, each one of us, we want to take our place today, Lord God, that you have made for us. And from the foundation of the world, the Bible says that you sent Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you, Lord God, when he was raised from the dead. And Lord God, we surely believed that Father God, that Jesus is Lord and you raised him from the dead. And we've confessed that. Hallelujah. And we were born again. We're children of God. And I want to thank you as children of God, Father God. Lord God, you're given us a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding is being enlightened. Because, Lord God, to know the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance is in the saints, and what's the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power that you brought about in Jesus Christ, when you raised him from the dead, seated him at your own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name. Hallelujah. Lord God, and everything that is to which is to come, and you've put all things under his feet and gave it to him to be head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who is all in all. Lord God, we need to desire the revelation of our place in authority seated with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so we thank you, Lord God, that you're revealing these things to us. Revelation is coming to us. Knowledge is coming to us. Our Father is teaching us and giving us instruction and understanding through the Holy Spirit, who lives and dwells within us. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.